Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 12 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. We sure do need you. The Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you just anoint me, thy servant. May I be your spokesperson to get your people to be a little closer to you. Lord, I know the voice is rough. The body has been in pretty rough shape, but you seem to just keep on empowering. And Lord, is all I ask is that they be able to hear what you have for us tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And be seated, please. Super job. I need your attention tonight. Again, my voice is extremely rough. We'll see how it goes here. I entitled the sermon, Getting to Know God. Getting to Know God. If you'll give me about 7 minutes here to introduce it, it's a very short truth. I really believe we'll be on our way home a little earlier than normal. I have met few people in life who look at me and say, I don't love God. Seriously. Even lost people will tell me they really love God. Here's the problem. I even meet people who say they believe in God, but they're not even saved. Did you know that you can love someone without knowing them? Here's the problem. I know Christians who sit in church who say they love God, but they don't know God. That statement should hit pretty hard. Let me ask you a question. You say you love him, but let me ask you this question. How well do you know him? How well do you know the God of this universe? How well do you know the one who gave his life for you so that you have eternity? You say, but how can you love somebody you don't know? Oh, it's quite easy. It really is. Do you know that, I'm almost afraid to ask this, my dear pastor that I call my pastor is Brother Hiles. How many of you never met Brother Hiles? Raise your hand. Glory to God, that's about 98% of this auditorium. That scares me. Some of you, through my preaching, though, have learned to love a man named Brother Hiles. And you never met him. You never met him. He's been dead for, 13, almost 14 years now. He's been in heaven. But some of you have learned to love him because of the influence of someone else. You've gotten to know him better. Some of you have heard of him. I have people that they've listened to sermons of his now and different things, and they've started loving him but they do not know him. Those of us that knew him really loved him. I never met the man, J. Frank Norris. But I can tell you this, I love J. Frank Norris. Now, he's been dead since the 1950s, I believe. And J. Frank Norris was just a fighting fundamentalist. He was He had organized crime against him. He had the Dallas-Fort Worth area government against him, and he had the Detroit government against him. He fought during the times of Prohibition. He had his buildings burned down, got blamed for burning his own buildings down, and went to court over it. He ended up shooting and killing a man that broke into his office that pointed a gun at him, and ended up having to kill the man in self-defense. Got through that battle, and while his mother and wife were homesick during the Christmas season, somebody burned his house down during the Sunday school hour of church, and his wife and mother-in-law barely got out alive. Now, I say all that to say this, J. Frank Norris paid a price. What a decent man. I'd never met the man, but I tell you this, I could love the man. I was influenced by two men that he helped train, put it into the ministry, a man named Harold Henniger and a man named Bruce Cummins. They both served under Dr. J. Frank Norris. I never met him, but I could love him. I'll be personal for a second here. My son got married this last summer, and my new daughter, my daughter-in-law, whatever you want to call her, I just call her my daughter. But Ruth Ann's parents are assistant pastor, and her mom works in a Christian school there in Miami, Florida. My wife and I have met the provosts one time. We saw them for 2.5 days, met them for 2.5 days. Can I tell you something? I love my daughter-in-law's parents. Almost every day, Brother Provost and I text back and forth to one another. We were with the kids at Thanksgiving for a couple days, and he texted me, and he said, Brother Bush, I need to talk to you, but I don't want to talk to you while you're with the kids. I said, oh no, what's going on? I said, sure. He said, can you let me know when you're on the road, when you leave there? I said, be glad to. So after we said our tearful goodbyes and got on the road, I texted him and said, on the road, got 7.5 hours, call at will. That's literally what I texted. And in a few minutes, my phone rang and I hit the Bluetooth because I was not going to talk on the road while I was otherwise. And he told me they were going to try to surprise the kids and come up for Christmas and drive up from Miami to Lexington to be with Josh and Ruth Ann for Christmas. I was so happy. You say, you were happy? Yeah. I was happy they get to spend time with them. I was as sincerely happy about that as I was the time that we got to spend with them at Thanksgiving. Well, word got back in just about a week or two ago. Some word was traveling around. Josh and Ruth Ann were going to try to come back here for a couple days just for Christmas and get back. And they were really getting ready to spoil things. We'd been doing everything we could to keep them there. And finally, Brother Provost had to tell them. He said, finally had to tell them because word got out they were going your direction. He said, I just flat out had to tell them, stay put because we're coming. I said, well, it's still going to be exciting for them. They're leaving as soon as church is over tonight, driving through the night from Miami all the way to Lexington. God bless them. You say, what would you do? I would fly. I'm not driving that far. I love them, but I'll pay the price. Amen. And so, you know, and I told him this morning, I said, Brother Provost, I love you. I'm praying for you to have a great day and praying for your safety tonight. And I said, I hope it's as enjoyable as you want it to be. And he said, Brother Craig, he said, you know, you and I are pretty close. This text and stuff just isn't going to do it all, though. One of these days, we're going to have to get together again. I love that. I love that man. He's a good man. I'm going to have that man come here and preach for me one day. He is a Mike Bajant, let me tell you. Just a neat guy. And you say, wait a minute. I met him once for 2.5 days. And if you've never put on a wedding for your son and daughter-in-law, those are stressful days. And yet we still got along. There wasn't too many fights. I mean, there wasn't any fights. Let's face it. I mean, we've met them one time. And it was 127,000 degrees while we were down there and 3,000% humidity. Oh, it was miserable. Getting married in Miami, Florida in July is stupid. Why couldn't they pick Christmas time? At least we would have been warm, amen? But anyway, I don't know them, but I love them. Now, I have gotten to know him a little better through the last several months. And they've gone through a little bit of a battle where they are, and their church has kind of hit a transition time and went through a tough time, and I helped them through. Can I tell you something? Because I've gotten to know him, I love him even more. You know, my heart is truly happy. My wife and I were talking the other night. We are so excited that the provost get to be there with the kids. I mean, just as excited as can be. Now, I'll be honest with you. As a parent, you'd like to have your kid with you. But can I tell you something? That's their child, too. That's their children, too. You know, I prayed for my wife and I prayed 23 years that my son would find the right young lady to marry. I told Brother Provost, that means we prayed for you for 23 years, too. We just didn't have a name to attach to it. And he said, likewise. He said, does kind of feel like we've known each other our whole life, doesn't it? I said, we prayed for each other. We just didn't know who you were. You know, there's something neat to be said about that. Now, I believe everybody in this room wants to love God. But I wonder how many of you really know him. I long for you to know the sweet presence and love of God. I do. I hope as your preacher someday you'll say, I know God better because of our church. I know God better because of our church. I want the people that I love most to fall in love and get to know the God I love. I really do. I don't want you just to say, I love God. I love God. I love God. I want you to know God. It was my joy for many years to work for Brother Hiles, and I knew him. I'd like you to love him, but those of us that knew him, you got to know somebody. I've known Brother Owens for close to 30 years, and I love Brother Owens. He's my dear friend. But some of you don't even know who he is. That's fine. Someday you'll get to know him, and you'll learn to love him. Now, let me give you just, and I'm almost embarrassed by this simple outline. You won't need to take notes. It's pretty simple. It's only 2 points. Even us rednecks can remember 2 points. Amen. Point number one, you need to spend time with God. You need to spend time with God. You know, if 25 and a half years ago, I got married to my wife and I never spent any time with her, how much would I love her? Some of you have been saved a long time, or maybe even just a little bit of time. But let me ask you a question. How much time have you spent with him? Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. I want us to read some verses, and I want you to see them. Psalm 119, and we're going to start in verse 9. We're not reading the whole chapter, just so you know. By the way, this is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's got 176 verses or so to it, or a little bit more than that. I forget exactly how many, but it's a lot. 176 verses. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. A little bit later in the chapter, Psalm 119, turn over to verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. The Bible says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You need to spend time with God. Oh, I was on staff for Brother Hiles, a college young man, knocked on my door one day after church, and there was probably a dozen people waiting outside my office. He stepped in and he said, "Brother Bush, I've asked a few men this question." He said, "I'd like to ask you a question." I said, "Go for it." He said, "If you had to choose to give up one thing in your Christian life, prayer or Bible reading, what would you choose to give up?" That quick, I said, "Prayer." He said, "What?" I said, "Prayer." He shook his head. He said, "You're the only person so far I've asked that has said that. You mean you would give up asking God and talking to God?" I said, "In a heartbeat." He said, "Okay, I'm confused." I said, "Young man, that book is God talking to me. Prayer is me talking to God. What he has to say is far more important than what I have to say to him." And he turned around and walked out the door. I don't know what anybody else answered. I don't know who he asked. He asked my opinion. But I will tell you this, that King James Bible right there is the most important thing in the world. It is the most important thing in the world. Let me ask you a question. I'll show you how much you love God. How much of that book have you read? I think it's good to read it from cover to cover. By the way, it's hard reading it cover to cover. I understand that. Last year I gave out a little plan for you to read that might help you a little bit. No problem. I'm not saying you have to read it cover to cover starting in Genesis chapter 1 and in Revelation chapter 22. I'm not against you just picking and choosing wherever you want to read each day. That's fine. I know this, for about 20, 25 years, I averaged 2 to 3 times a year, at least just reading through it on top of my Bible study time. I put an awful lot of time in that book. I have read that book through scores and scores and probably 100 times or more. Say why? I need it. I need it. I want to know him. I want to know him in all of his beauty and all of his power. And these are his words. By the way, that is his name, the Word of God. You'll get to know him by getting to know his book. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it was same as in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh. You go to Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13. It says, "And when he come back, and written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God." Guess what? That is God in print right there for you. And there has to be in every word of God somewhere, or God's a liar, and God's not a liar. That's why they need to quit messing with the Bible, because they're messing with Jesus. Period. End of discussion. You need to learn to love that book. Oh, how I wish you would read that book every day of your life. I'm going to make a statement that might surprise some of you. I don't care if you get through it every year. I just want you to read it every day. I don't care if you don't get through it every year. I think sometime in your Christian life, you ought to start on a journey and get through it once in a year. Okay, great. Past that, I'd rather you get something out of what you read every day than you read through it in a year and not get anything. Yes, sir. Well, all those begats and begots and begottens and all this. Okay, but there's a whole lot more Bible than just that. There's a whole lot more Bible than 1st and 2nd Chronicles. There's certain parts of the Bible that are hard for me to read. And I've read it a lot. That's why I pick and choose what I need at the time. I know enough about it to know what I need. But may I say this? You just got to fall in love with that book right there. I shall know him. I shall know him. Let me ask you a question. You know, Brother Stoltz knows this is true, and some others. There's a song Brother Hiles used to hate, and now I know why he hated it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Why is it not worth it all now? Some of you would not know him unless it were for the nail prints in his hand. Huh. What if he has his hands behind his back? Would you know him? Could you walk up and talk to him and know him? Wow. Can I tell you something? You ought to memorize the Bible. Some of you ought to memorize some verses in the Bible. And in more than John 3:36, Jesus wept. Several years ago, I was an assistant pastor and the preacher was preaching, and it seemed like every verse he would use, about three out of four verses he would use, I was quoting while he was preaching. And I thought, I wonder how many verses I've memorized. I had no idea. I thought, I'm going to go through the Bible and find out how many verses I've memorized. I thought, I bet you I got to be in the hundreds. I really thought that. I thought I had hundreds of verses memorized. I started on a journey. Took me about 2 months. I went through the Bible. And when I got done, I was shocked. I have over 3,000 verses memorized. And I can't tell you I set out to memorize over 3,000 verses. But it's in there. That's why if they take it away and throw me in jail, they're in trouble, because I got a whole bunch of it stored up there. Amen? You ought to memorize the Bible. Most of my Bible memory comes because I just read the Bible so much. I just keep refamiliarizing myself with it over and over and over and over and over and over again. So you need to read it. You need to memorize it. Can I tell you something? You need to realize who wrote it. Some of you don't understand that book because you don't talk to its author before you read that book. You know, just about every time before I read that book, I say, God, would you teach me something? If you were not in church this morning, you got to listen to that sermon. My wife, my daughter encouraged me today. They've heard me preach a lot. My daughter has heard me preach her whole life. She said, Daddy, that was pretty neat. I never heard that before. I was talking to Brother Hawkins. He said, okay, preacher, you did it. Thought I heard it all. That's a new one. It's not a new truth. But one day I was reading my Bible and it popped out. Boom, there it was. Say why? Because I asked God to show me something. Can I tell you something? If you'll start talking to the author, he'll start showing you things. I wrote a book, don't get too impressed, but I wrote a book on fellowship and leadership. And a couple years ago, a young man in Alaska called me. He said, I have your book. I said, I'm sorry. He said, no. He said, we're using it in the classroom. And he said, I need to know some more about this. And he called me. He said, man, am I glad I could get a hold of you. I said, call me anytime. I told the young man I was very impressed that he would call the guy that wrote it and not try to get somebody else's opinion about it. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went to the author of the book and asked him some questions? People that tell you there's contradictions in that book don't know the author of that book. Because there's no contradiction in that book. It's all there. Ask him to teach it to you. I'm going to say this. You need to learn how to pray. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm not as stupid as some people think I am. But I know most people don't think at a deified rate. By the way, God's not impressed with it either. He scolded the Pharisees. Just so you know. Everybody gets up and uses their big fancy words. And I'm not against pretty outlines and all the phonetical stuff and all the words in the outline have the same letter. You know what? You don't think that way, and neither does anybody else. Sorry. Now, if I come up with one of those, I might have one a year. Good luck. I'd rather eat peanut butter and jelly any day. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Man, yeah, Brother Ed, we'll put it on the bottom shelf and open up the lid so you can get in. Amen? But can I explain prayer to you? Prayer is real simple. Prayer means this, talking to God. Say, can you define prayer? Yes, talking to God and asking him for his help. That's all it is. Do you know that I talk to God while I drive? Sometimes it's because of the way you're driving. I'll talk to God. Do you know there's times I tell God jokes? Most of the time he thinks they're funny. My wife told me one the other day. I'm hoping I can remember this one. This is a couple years down the road. I think it's in 2017, 2018. This old feller goes to the White House and he says, I need to get in and see President Obama. And the Marine standing guard there said, sir, he no longer lives here. He said, oh, okay. He came back the next day. He said, I got to get in. I got to see President Obama. He said, sir, I told you yesterday, he doesn't live here anymore. He said, okay. Third day, the guy comes back, and the Marine's just standing there shaking his head. He said, I got to get in and see the President Obama again. Please let me in. He said, sir, he can no longer live here. He said, I know, but I just love hearing that. The Marine saluted him and said, see you tomorrow, sir. Now, I enjoyed that. I think God enjoyed that one too. I told him that one. And he said, if y'all would have listened to me, you wouldn't have put up with it again. But anyway, you know, talking to God, the Bible says that Abraham talked to God as a man speaketh to his friend. Can I tell you something? When's the last time you just talked to him? I'm not saying that you should not get on your knees and pray, but you don't have to get on your knees and pray. And thank God, because I got one knee that doesn't have anything left in it. Amen. Can I tell you something? When's the last time you asked God for his help? And you did it before you got in trouble, not when you were in trouble. When's the last time before you got to work, you asked God for wisdom about your work? I didn't wait till this morning and say, God, I'm not feeling good. Could you help me? Man, I haven't been feeling good for 2 weeks. I got to church this morning about 6:15, 6:20, after I'd been to Sheets to get some coffee to put in the veins, amen? And the whole time I was saying, oh God, I'm not sure I can make it, but I need you. God, I'm here, and I need you to do the rest. God, I don't have anything left in the tank, but the tank's open. You fill it up, I'll keep using it. Guess what? We're getting through it. You see, ask him. Talk to him. When's the last time you told God how good he was? You say, well, I just don't act that way in public. Okay, when's the last time you told him in private? I'm not afraid to walk up and tell my wife in public I love her. I'm not afraid to stand up in front of a crowd and say, Debbie, I love you. Man, I love you. I'm not afraid of that. Can I tell you something? I'm not afraid to stand in public and say, God, I love you. I was at the store recently. I was humming, singing. Somebody said, are you singing? I said, well, some wouldn't call it that. They said, what you singing? I said, telling God I love him. They said, oh, turn around, walked away. It wasn't the singing that got them. It was the topic that got them. I wasn't singing for them. I was singing for him. See, when's the last time you told him how wonderful he was, how powerful, how beautiful his creation is? Good night. We have had some beautiful sunsets lately. When the sun was out, you know, a couple weeks ago. You know, Can I tell you something? God made you to spend time with him. God made you to spend time with him. That's why you were created. You were created to spend time with him and satisfy a need God has. Do you know that you can fill a need God has that nobody else can fill because he didn't make anybody else exactly like you? Not at all. And if you don't fill it, nobody else will, and God will go without one of his needs being met. God made me for my wife and my wife for me, and if I don't get to know her and if I don't spend time with her, who is? By the way, that's how people get wrapped up in all this bad doctrine, because they don't spend time with God. They like what somebody else says about it, but they don't know God well enough to know it's trash. So, number one, spend time with God. Number two, are you ready? This is real hard. Spend time for God. Spend time with God. Spend time for God. Say, what's spending time for God? Coming to church. We live in such an unchurched generation. It's scary. It is amazing how many people in our country don't know anything about church. They think the preacher is speaking for God and he's some judge that's going to judge you for your sin. Bless God, I'm as much a sinner as you are. I have no right to judge you. I know that book a little better than the average person. Going to try to help you. That's all I'm here for. I'm not going to judge anybody. I have no right to judge anybody. I got enough trouble with my own sin, buddy. Yeah, you ought to come to church to, by the way, hear the preaching and hear what it's all about. And by the way, don't come just to be entertained. You won't. You need to, by the way, that's doing something for God. I don't say this, and you know I don't, I'm not here to raise money. You've watched me for 2 years take offerings. But if you would learn how to tithe, that's doing something for God. By the way, it'll do something for you too, I promise you. But that's not for me, that's for God. Can I tell you something? Be with other people who love God. Do you know, I am not going to spend 1 minute with anybody that does not like my wife. Now, I don't mean you don't know her, but I mean people that would not, I don't know why they wouldn't love her. You know, I don't spend time with people who are critical and negative and nasty. I don't. Matter of fact, because I say it so much, they don't even come around me. They just talk behind my back. And that's okay. Say why? Because I'm not going to listen to it. I hung up on a pastor not too awful long ago. Started talking about his people. I said, Doc, you complaining? I said, you're in it for sinners. I said, well, you can call me back and talk nice about your people. I'll talk to you. Click. I hung up on him. It was about an hour later, he called back and he said, man, that was rough. I said, are you going to talk nice about him? I said, I'm not going to listen to the gossip about your people. He said, no. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I spent the last hour on my knees asking God to forgive me. I didn't realize I was doing it. He said, I need your help. I said, I'll help you. Hang on. I don't listen to people talk bad about you. I'm usually the last one to find out what the latest rumor is. Amen. Say why? I don't hang around people that deal with rumors. Can I tell you something? Go out and go soul winning. Tell somebody else about Jesus. That's doing something for God. Show up to men's prayer meeting, fellas. Prayer sheet back there. January 3rd, we got our next men's prayer meeting. I think you ought to show up and do it for God. Well, I'm not real good. Hey, none of us is real good at it. But I can talk to God. Not a one of you men can't talk. I've been around all of you. Every once in a while, I think Mark gets his mother-in-law's teeth in, and he's just chattering away, amen? I'm going to pay for that one, aren't I, Brother Brining? Can I tell you something? You could do something for God and invite somebody to come to church with you. I got a sub-motto for 2015. 52 for you, amen? We're going to go 52 weeks in a row bringing visitors to church. I'm on a vendetta to make sure God's got visitors in his house every week. We've got a resurgence of it going across our country a little bit. You say, why? Because I started something and I'm not going back. We're going to do it. You say, well, what if we only get 40 weeks? Well, that's 40 more than the devil got, amen? Sing praises to God during the day. Say, oh, preacher, did you hear me sing? Amen. Yes, I have. And you know what? God said, make a joyful noise. And if you've ever heard me sing, we're not even sure it's joyful, but it's a noise. A lot of times I'm just humming or whistling. I know some of you haven't learned how to do that yet, but and don't do it in church, please. But hum or whistle. You don't have to sing all the words out loud. Just hum it in your head or hum it a little louder. Say why? Because God's pleased with that. Huh. Say you love him. How much do you know him? You see, you learn to love him more the more you get to know him. There's a lot of people that hate my guts. Amen, Brother Ron? Brother Ron was out of town recently and went to a church and found out that the pastor doesn't like my internal organs. It was kind of funny. I laughed about it. I said, doesn't that make you mad? No. I was praising God. Say, why? That's one more enemy I get to pray for that God can change. Amen. To know me is to love me. Anyway, God made you and God made your personality for him. You know, God wants to spend time with you. God in heaven wants to spend time with you. I'll never forget the first time Brother Hiles asked me in his office. He said, Craig, you think you could take me to the airport? Sure, when? He told me. I said, I'd be honored to. I don't know how many trips to the airport back and forth I made. I took he and Mrs. Hiles to the airport when his grandson was tragically 5-year-old grandson. And mom was backing down the driveway and the kid popped open the door and ran over her own child. I took he and Mrs. Hiles to the airport, brought them back. I got to pick them up the last time they went to Hawaii before Brother Hiles passed away, 2 weeks before he had his heart attack. Man, I got to spend time with him. Say, did you ever pass that up? Not on your life. Every second I could, I spent time with him. I used to walk by his office every time I left the building, just in case he was in there and the door popped open so I could say hello to him. You'd be surprised how many times I got to howdy with him for a second or two. Say, why? I got to be in the right place at the right time. Let me ask you a question. Do you want that for God? Would you like to spend a little time with him? He wants to get to know you. He wants to get to know you. I'll finish with this. Brother Hiles had a heart attack on a Tuesday. He flew back from Mexico, preached Wednesday night church. I sat on the platform with him, was close with him that night. Came to work on Thursday, came to work on Friday morning. Walked into his office Friday morning for prayer time. I was getting ready to leave, he said, and I needed to ask him a couple quick questions. He was standing there, and I was the first one to ask questions. And it was just he and I in the office. He said, Craig, he said, I'll get to your questions in a second. He said, I'm having some back trouble. He said, could you put my briefcase on the desk for me? Whew. Yes, sir. What else do you need? Oh, no, that's enough. He wasn't having back trouble. He'd had a heart attack. That in less than 2 weeks would take him to heaven. Whew. I got to pick up his briefcase and put it on his desk for him. He was in the hospital later that day. Say, what was that? I got to do something for him. You know, I feel the same way about God. A little while I'll be done. I'll get home. Last thing I'll say to God tonight is, I got to do something for you today. Man, that excites me. Wouldn't you like to do something for God and spend time with God? Tonight, I gave you the recipe of how. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I'd like you to walk out a little closer to the Lord, knowing Him a little better. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the music will begin to play. Some of you need to just come to this altar and humble yourself and tell God you're going to spend a little bit more time with Him. Some of you, you've spent time with Him, but you're not doing anything with that time, and you need to do something for God. You need to get off your seat and come forward and tell God you're going to do some things for Him in this next coming year.